There are a number of significant walks in the Bible. In Genesis 3, God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. There was the walk Abraham took, which lasted 3 days, to Mount Moriah in order to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. That walk has always led me to think what was said, perhaps on that way to Moriah. Dad, where are we going? Well, God told us to go to Mount Moriah. What are we going to do? Let's wait and see when we get there. Well, Dad, here's the fire, here's the wood, but where's the lamb for the sacrifice? Don't know what kind of conversation went on during that momentous walk to Mount Moriah. That liberating walk Moses took, leading the children of Israel through the Red Sea. That walk through the wilderness that lasted some 40 years. Those walks around the walls of Jericho. The walk of those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they had an encounter with the risen Christ. Saul's interrupted walk on that road to Damascus. And then, of course, the most significant walk of all, Jesus walking to Golgotha, the way of great sorrow. But I want us to consider a walk tonight by a man named Peter. Familiar passage of Scripture to us, but let's begin by looking at Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 22. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray, and when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, probably about 3 a.m., there in the middle of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost," and they crowded in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. As one book title said, if you're going to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. And Peter did step out of the boat, and he came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind stopped. I would be interested to know what the conversation was as they made the walk back to the boat. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "You are certainly God's son." Well, of course, it's a walk of faith. At least it started out that way. And Wayne just led us in a song, "Living by Faith," but the walk of faith. Now, this walk does not guarantee continuous fair weather. There will be storms, times when this walk will be difficult. And many times as we walk the walk of faith, even little things sometimes affect our walk of faith. Micah chapter 6, verse 8, "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God." The walk of faith. What does this walk of faith require? What does it mean to walk the walk of faith? What is involved in this walk of faith? Number one, I'm going to suggest it. The walk of faith is a walk of confidence. As we walk with the Lord, we cannot always see what lies ahead. But we ought to have the confidence that God walks with us. And we can have confidence in a God who has promised never to leave us or forsake us. And we can have confidence that when we come to the end of the walk, as the psalmist said, he will lead us through the valley into our eternal home. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. What confidence we can draw from the fact that God's walk with us, that God walks with us when we walk with him by faith. A little girl was walking with her dad. Heavy clouds began to develop and the winds blew and it looked like a storm was coming. And the little girl said to her daddy, "Take my hand. I can't take all of your hand, but you can take all of mine." Well, that's true. Sometimes as we walk this walk of faith, we cannot always take all of God's hand because God's hand is so big, but we can have the confidence that God can take all of our hand. So there's confidence. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 12, Paul said, "For this reason I also suffered these things, but I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day." So when we become Christians and start walking with God, we make an investment with our lives, with him, and all through life we walk with God in the confidence that we're going to receive the benefits of that walk at the end of the way. As Paul concluded 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." But number two, this walk of faith is one of concentration. We must stay focused. We must keep our eyes fixed in one particular place. And when we walk the walk of faith, sometimes we look at the storms more than we look at the Savior. Don't focus on the storm. That's what Peter did, perhaps. He focused on the storm and he began to sink. There are a lot of people who look around and see a lot of things instead of keeping their eyes and their focus on Jesus. So don't focus on the storms of life. I'm not saying that we've got to deal with those storms of life, but we must not have our focus there. Faith is what got Peter out of the boat, and trust and focus held him up, but the fear of the storms around him is what caused him, I believe, to sink. The walk of faith is one where we concentrate on Jesus Christ. Now, I think all of us realize that a lot of things come into our lives that take our focus away. Maybe fear, maybe disillusionment, disappointment, death of a loved one, times of discouragement. We have all of those. But let me encourage you, whatever comes in your life, don't lose your focus. Keep looking to Jesus. We quoted Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 this morning. "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." I really do like the chorus, and we sang that tonight. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's try it again. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Isaiah 45, verse 22, "Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other." Keep focusing on Jesus Christ. The walk of faith is also a walk of commitment. Commitment is an absolute imperative an imperative ingredient in this walk of faith. It costs to walk with Jesus. There's no cheap grace here. There's no cheap crosses here. Jesus did not call us to mediocrity. He did not call us to a life of ease. And the life He calls us to is one of complete and total dedication and surrender to Him. We cannot walk by faith uncommittedly. We cannot walk by faith unless we have given our all to Jesus Christ. He calls us to an exclusive attachment to Him. And if I'm not willing to give Him my all, then it's going to be very difficult for me to walk by faith. And so this walk of faith is a walk of commitment. Luke 9, verse 23, Jesus said, and He was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. And so we must realize that the cost indeed is high. The cost is daily. The cost is personal. And each of us must make the commitment. I cannot worship for you. You cannot worship for me. I cannot serve God for you. You cannot serve God for me. Each one, if anyone will come after me, a personal commitment each person makes to walk the walk of faith. And then the walk of faith is a walk of communion with God. It's a walk with God. And there is joy in this walk of faith. Psalm 16, verse 11, you will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. Your right hand, or in your right hand, there are pleasures forever. But there is also unity in this walk with God. Psalm 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. So we have to be in step with God. If we're out of step with God, then we're not walking by faith. We have to be sensitive to God's call. Walking together develops a bond between us and God. 1 John 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So this walk of faith means facing your fears and choosing not to let fear have the last word. This walk of faith means discovering and embracing God's call to walk in confidence, to walk with concentration, to walk with commitment, and to realize this is a walk of communion with God. This walk of faith means experiencing the power of God in your life to do something you would not be capable of doing on your own. That's some of what it means, I think, to step out of the boat and walk the walk of faith. So where does this walk begin? Where did Peter's walk begin? Well, when Jesus said, come. And Peter responded. If it's you, Lord, bid me to come. Come on, Peter. And Peter did. I suspect there were 11 others in the boat who probably looked at Peter and said, Peter, you are absolutely crazy. What are you doing? You can't walk on that water. But he responded to Jesus' initial call to come. If it's you, Lord, bid me come to you, you come on. And Peter stepped out in faith. And our walk of faith begins when we say yes to Him, because He invites us to come. And we respond by faith. We answer His call by believing in Him, by confessing His name, by being buried with Him in the waters of baptism. And now the walk begins. And as Romans 6 tells us, we begin to walk in newness of life. Where does the walk end? Every walk has a destination. We are going somewhere. Hebrews 11, verse 10, for He was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Or David in Psalm 23 and verse 6, the walk, or when he says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So this walk of faith ends in heaven, where we live with God. It was said of Enoch in Genesis 5, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. The walk of faith ends at the portals of heaven. Are you walking by faith? Paul reminded us that we walk by faith and not by sight. So if there is any way that any of us this week can get out of that boat and begin to walk in faith, let me encourage you to do that very thing this week. But if anyone needs to respond, we're going to sing our song of encouragement. Let's stand together and sing.